Okay, Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and gospel means good news, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. And this is from Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 4, verse 30. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, talking about John the Baptist, who shall prepare the way before you, Christ. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John baptized in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Just a little side note here. You know, there's a lot of churches out there that do not believe that baptism is for the remission of sins. Even John's baptism was for the remission of sins, as we can see here. So Jesus' baptism most certainly was too. And all the land of Judea and those of Jerusalem went out to him there and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. That's why he's called John the Baptist. It'd probably be more correct to say John the Baptizer. That's what he did. He was doing a lot of baptizing of people. He was getting the people prepared for the Christ and the church, which was to come. He was about 6 months older than Jesus. So I think he was probably 6 months into his preparing the way for the Lord. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a belt of skin around his loins, and he ate locusts and wild honey. So he was probably an odd fella, it sounds like. Sounds like he lived out in the wilderness and just lived a very simple life, not materialistic, certainly not a fancy man. And he preached, saying, after me comes one who is mightier than I, the straps of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And when it says he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit, I tend to think that some or all of the apostles were there when John was preaching this. Because we will learn as we go that the apostles and only the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nobody else. And we'll see that as we go. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, obviously, Jesus' baptism was not for the remission of sins. He had no sins to be remitted. But I think it says in Matthew's account that Jesus said, you know, because John even said, wait, you don't need to be baptized. I need to be baptized of you. I'm the one with sins. And Jesus said, you know, allow this to happen so we can fulfill all righteousness. And it also seems to be when Jesus was appointed by God, probably given maybe some more power at this time, because Jesus was deity, but I think he voluntarily gave up a lot of his powers. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I think this is the point where Jesus is being told, okay, you're 30 years old now. It is time for you to do your mission. I think he'd probably lived a pretty regular, normal life up until then. We don't have really anything about Jesus's childhood. We have a little bit about when he was a baby, and we have one account where he was 12 and went to Jerusalem and was teaching in the synagogues. But for the most part, you know, the scriptures are silent about his childhood. And if you look at Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I think it was at that point. I think when he got baptized is when God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power and went about doing his mission. And immediately the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now, in Matthew's account, we have quite a few more details, and we have the temptations, we have Jesus' response to Satan's temptations, but each account of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, gives some different details. You know, we might have this detail in this account that's not in another account, and what have you. And these gospel accounts were two different audiences. Like Matthew's was mostly to the Jews. That's why he was constantly saying that something was being fulfilled, and he would quote the Old Testament prophecy. Mark's writing mostly to Gentiles, so you're not going to see that as much, because these Gentiles, probably most of them, wouldn't have known anything about the Old Testament, the Law of Moses. Now, after John was put in prison, again in Matthew, we have more details about why he was put in prison. We know he was put in prison because he told Herod he was not allowed to have his brother's wife. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, preaching the church, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God, or the church, is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, or the good news. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, which is Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now, we talked about this before in Matthew, where, you know, for a long time I didn't understand, you know, that these men would just immediately drop everything in their lives right then and there on the spot and follow this stranger. Well, I don't think he was a complete stranger. That's why I think that these men, Peter, Andrew, and James, and John in this case, were in the wilderness of Judea listening to John's preaching and teaching about Christ. Why else would they have just dropped everything and left with him? It wouldn't make any sense. So I think they knew who Jesus was, and I think they believed that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah. They didn't understand everything, and we'll see as we go that the apostles a lot of times ask some dumb questions, and you're like, seriously, you still don't get it? Of course, you know, we're looking at this from 2,000 years later in hindsight, and of course, we have the full written New Testament now where they did not. So we have to give them, you know, some leeway. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And in their synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit. And if you remember my opinion on what an unclean spirit is I believe that it's the spirit of a wicked person who is in torments, that for a few years in the first century, probably for about 40 years, God allowed these evil spirits to leave torments, go into someone's body, and wreak havoc, basically. And the purpose was so that the apostles or Jesus or someone could come along, cast out that spirit, perform a supernatural act, and prove that what they were saying was truly from God. So you have a man here who has one of those spirits, maybe even more than one, simply because it says, and he cried out saying, "Leave us alone." I don't know, maybe there was more than one spirit in this man. "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The evil spirits know who Christ is. Everyone in torments is going to know who Christ is. But do you really want an evil spirit being your witness? You know, evil spirits don't make very good witnesses. So Jesus said, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Remain silent and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and most likely was forced to go back to torments where he came from. And they were all amazed to such an extent that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this thing? What new doctrine or teaching is this? For he commands even the unclean spirits with authority, and they obey him. Yes, this is from God, people. This is from God. And immediately his fame spread everywhere throughout all the regions surrounding Galilee. And immediately, when they came out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon, Peter, and Andrew with James and John. So Peter, Andrew, James, and John went to Peter's house. But Simon, or Peter's wife's mother, lay sick from a fever, and immediately they told him about her. So we know Peter was married. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered to them. Again, like I said, when we read it in Matthew, she didn't just, oh, yeah, I feel kind of better, but, you know, I probably need to rest a day or two. No, she was healed so well by Jesus that she was able to immediately get up and be a good hostess. When Jesus heals somebody, it's immediate and it is 100%. And at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were diseased and those who were possessed with demons. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick from various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. In other words, they make terrible witnesses. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed to a solitary place and prayed there. He wanted to talk to his father. And Simon, Peter, and those who were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said to him, All men are seeking for you. And he said to them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may also preach there, for this is why I came. This is his mission. He has started his mission. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons. And a leper came to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, If you are willing, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And we talked about this before. The main purpose of Jesus performing miracles was to prove who he was. How do you prove who you are? Perform a supernatural act. Oh, yes, only God and someone who has power from God can perform supernatural acts. You must be telling us the truth. But it also, he also did it sometimes, I think, for compassion. It says here that he was moved with compassion. He cares about people. And so I think he healed a lot of people simply out of compassion. But the main reason was to confirm the word. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly charged him, immediately sent him away, and said to him, See that you say nothing to any man. Now, why would he tell him that? I think it's because the more well-known Jesus is, the more absolutely bombarded he is going to get. And it's not necessarily going to be from people who care about what he's teaching and preaching. It's more about, hey, you know, he can heal my sickness. He can heal all my family's sicknesses. He can heal and heal and heal and heal. He says, But go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. And this is, he's basically telling him, go to the priest and do what you're supposed to do under the law of Moses when you have leprosy and it has gone away. And we can read about that in Leviticus 14 as to what those rules under the law of Moses were. Because remember, Jesus hasn't died yet, so this leper was still living under the law of Moses. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter everywhere. You tell somebody, don't tell somebody. And what do? They go tell everybody. To such an extent that Jesus could no longer openly enter into the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every region. So he is already becoming a very popular guy. He's going to become more and more well known. And at this point, they are accepting of him. I mean, after all, he is healing people. So right now, he is in favor with the people. That's Mark chapter 1.